The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
Pete, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
You've been a busy man over the last few years, writing so many books and sharing your information. Do you like doing that? Do you like being busy? Or are you busy? That should be my first question, because I want to frame it in a way that one of the things I've noticed in the world is people sometimes say that they're busy as a badge of honor. And I wonder, is it our normal state to be busy? And what have you learned about the idea of being busy and working and all of these things over the last few years? Because I know you've been on quite a journey.
Yeah, well, if I were to think about the word busy and what that implies, I actually think back to my pre-writing days more than my writing era, because I used to work in investment banking in New York, and then I was in Silicon Valley advising tech companies. And even before that, like, went to Princeton. So I was always busy with the things that I was trying to accomplish. But most of the time prior to this writing endeavor that I've been on, I didn't really have meaning behind it other than I thought I just needed to accomplish something. So I was always working toward this goal of accomplishing, but then it was like a treadmill, because then maybe I would accomplish it, maybe I wouldn't. And I felt like I hadn't moved anywhere in the process. But then for me in 2016, things changed when I started to become aware of paradigms that I wasn't aware of previously, and my worldview shifted. And then I started to write my first book. I wrote in 2017. It was published in 2018. And the fifth book was just published recently, the beginning of 2023. So it's five books in a short amount of time. And I would say that it doesn't feel busy in the same way that my work life felt busy, for example, because I feel like I'm more self-directed in what I'm doing. And where that direction comes from, that's a big philosophical debate. But it's like the passion drives me toward topics that I'm very interested in. And so it doesn't feel like work. And then I say, wow, I've learned a lot. My paradigm shifted. Why don't I put this into a book? And that's what's happened five times now.
Do you think it becomes like talking about your previous life, if we want to call it about that, or previous adventure? Do you think that becomes a program that a lot of people can fall into and become trapped in, that treadmill of busyness to achieve becomes from childhood, through the schooling system, through exams, through university, through work, all of these things becomes the norm without, and because everybody is doing it to a great degree in the Western society, that we don't even question it?
Yeah. Well, that was me. I just thought that was the way life was, and you tried to achieve in order to be successful in life. And that was very much a product of the culture. But behind that striving was not a sense of purpose or meaning, like not a deeper sense of why I even exist and why life matters. So that wasn't there. And I did notice that a lot in my networks everywhere, is that people were on this hamster wheel treadmill. And then this is sort of related to what I just said, but it's a bit distinct. There is this need, I've noticed, to stay busy, that the people, including myself previously, I'm getting better, I think, have a hard time just being with themselves and sitting still. And I've done a lot of meditation in the last few years. I actually went on 2 silent retreats right before the lockdowns in 2020, and those were a little under a week long. So silent meditation, no gesturing at people. And doing that kind of an extended process, I think, helps one become more comfortable not being busy doing things and more focused on what's happening within. So maybe that's the crux of this quote unquote busyness, is that people are focused on the external and they don't focus as much on the internal.
I know it's a little cliche to ask, but and I've been asked it so many times, and it's always a really interesting question and interesting answer. But you talked about the turning point and meditation, and I'm interested, was there a one experience that changed this? And I know I've had a lot of people on here that have I've interviewed talking about taking a psychedelic or an entheogenic medicine that completely changed their worldview or their reality of who they are and this world or this realm that we exist in. Was it a huge sort of one day or one week experience, or was it a gradual sort of curiosity or questioning?
It was gradual, but I can demarcate sort of one time in the summer of 2016. So let me give you the backstory. I was working in Silicon Valley after having left my New York job in investment banking, and I was in New York from 2008 to 2010. So I was there during the financial crisis, right when I graduated from college. Brutal time to be working in that industry. I mean, it's a tough industry to begin with, but it was a particularly tough time then. And I left to join this firm, first in Boston, then Silicon Valley, still very much focused on trying to do well in my job. But I kind of hit a wall starting in 2014, 2015. Some of the deals that I worked on didn't go the way that I wanted. Some things in my personal life didn't go the way that I wanted. And on top of that, I had a very nihilistic worldview. I would have considered myself maybe an atheist or an agnostic. I thought that anything spiritual or religious was just something, a superstition, and we had advanced past that with science. I was in that mindset very strongly. So my mindset was, well, Mark, you have a nihilistic worldview. There is no meaning to life beyond what you make it to be, but that's just the way it is. And that's what science is telling us. So I had this perfect storm of a very bleak worldview, and then things in my life weren't going the way that I wanted. And it was a tough time. I wasn't looking for something new, however, but I started listening to podcasts in 2016. First, it was Tim Ferriss' show, listening to venture capitalists on his show. And then I heard people talk about psychedelics. I wasn't doing psychedelics, but I heard them talk about it, and they were having dramatic shifts. And I remember Tim Ferriss had a show where he talked about sensory deprivation tanks, where you float in a tank of heavily salinated water. So your body literally floats because there's so much salt in the water. I said, I'm going to try that. So I started doing sensory deprivation tanks in San Francisco in 2016, just to see what happened. And I noticed that I felt better after I did those. And these were hour sessions. And sometimes I would book like back to back or back to back to back. So I would do a few hours in the tank. And so that was maybe summer of 2016. In August of 2016, I was still listening to podcasts, came across a show called Extreme Health Radio, which is an alternative health show. And the next podcast in the queue, it was actually from a few months before. So this was not one that I sought out and said, I'm going to listen to this one. It was just the next one up. It was a psychic, a woman named Laura Powers, who talked about working with clients on their energy. She communicated with beings in other dimensions. And she was saying this seriously. So I'm sitting there like, what is going on? Because I've never heard of anything like this beyond science fiction. And at the end of that interview, Laura mentioned that she had her own podcast called Healing Powers, and I was in this podcast mode. So I said, why don't I just listen to her show? Because my life didn't change on a dime there. But then I listened to her talk to other people who had similar experiences, and these were people with independent backgrounds. So I was like, wait a second, they're not colluding with each other, because these people are all over the world have different stories, and yet they're coming up with a worldview that completely contradicts my own. And it's a very similar one. It's something spiritual. So then I said, I've got to investigate this. Fall of 2016, started reading lots of books and realized there was scientific evidence to back this up. So I had a very dramatic worldview over those few months where I was trying to just reconcile how could these things be true? And I didn't know it my whole life. I was extremely disoriented. And that really pushed me on this journey to try to figure out what's going on.
And have you worked out what's going on yet?
The more I look at it, the more confused I am. I think there is something beyond the physical for sure. And I have, I've written 5 books to try to get to what's going on. And it's like, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Isn't that a beautiful thing though? That the whole curiosity and mystery and I've been down this path before and I still am on that path where you think you know it and then more information or more experiences come into your life where it's like, whoa, okay. What I thought I knew was a lot and now I know little. You get down that rabbit hole again and I'm learning more. Oh, shit. Is any of this true anymore? You go through these sort of, I don't want to call it frustration because I find it quite comical to a degree. Like you have to have a sense of humor. Well, I like having a sense of humor in this human experience. And like yourself, I've sought out information for the last few decades to help give me a broader sense of what this game is. And I use that word game, and I know it triggers a lot of people, but I'll ask you, do you think this is a game we're in or a game that we're playing? And that is... perhaps there are no rules, or perhaps there are.
That is a great question. It's fundamental. I mean, if I were to summarize my exploration, it's I want to understand the nature of reality. I want to understand who we are and what we're doing here. And what you've asked is a potential answer is that we're in a form of a game. That's our existence. And that maybe part of the game is to recognize that we're in a game and to transcend it. I mean, if I were to give you my worldview in a nutshell, and you can tell me if you think this is a game or not. And I say this not with full confidence. I would say that just everything I've researched pushes me in this general direction, which is that our inherent nature of what we are is not a body, that we are a form of consciousness that is inhabiting a body, and that we're interconnected as part of something bigger beyond this, whatever we're in. So even though there's Mark and Pete that seem to be separate, that's true at one level, but at another level, we're interconnected in some way. And we exist here with a form of amnesia to what's actually going on that exists beyond our perceptual organs, meaning our eyes can only show us a sliver of reality. Our ears can only pick up a tiny sliver of what's actually going on. So we're sensing a fraction of the ultimate reality. And then this is where it gets really tricky. So if you agree with what I just said, then what is the purpose behind it? Why are we spiritual beings in this physical realm? What are we doing here? And there are little hints here and there that I picked up on. And I know there are tons of opinions on this stuff, but I've looked a lot at near-death experiences where people are clinically dead, for example, and yet their consciousness is active. And sometimes they're hovering over their body in an out-of-body experience, and they see things in the room or sometimes outside the room, and they come back when they're resuscitated and they're able to accurately describe what happened, meaning that it's not a hallucination if they're accurate. And the doctor said, actually, yeah, how did you know that from the vantage point outside your body? So there's a lot of research on this conducted at the University of Virginia, for example, Dr. Bruce Grace, and many researchers have looked at this. And I mentioned the near-death experience because in a fraction of these cases, people talk about a life review where they relive their whole life and they become the people that they impacted. And when they resuscitated, they have been dramatically changed often. They become more compassionate. They become much more considerate towards people because they felt the interconnectedness in this other realm and they come in their body. And those people would tell you, Pete, that it is a game, quote unquote, but what we're trying to do is somehow like embody our inherent spirituality within this realm. And to try to be a good...
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.